Welcome back to the Silver Boys Podcast. I am your host, Cam Silver.
And I am your co-host, Kyle Silver.
Kyle.
There's so much going on right now.
Yo, my biggest thing, my biggest concern was like, all right, the finals are more than likely going to be done on Monday.
By Monday, yes.
After the Nuggets won Friday night. So I'm sitting, I'm like, all right. So what do we do now? But it looks like most of those that question has been answered because there's so much going on right now.
There's plenty to talk about, plenty to get into.
So let's start with the NBA. The Nuggets are champions for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm. 47 years, man.
How pretty cool is
that? That's crazy. That is crazy. And shout out to everybody on that organization because they were truly bought in from the beginning, and they let their team grow.
Yeah,
and it was really a testament. I want to say is like letting Jamal Murray get healthy, and then giving him like that 2 years to really get back into the swing of things.
Right.
I think that was a big, big thing
because of how easily. They could have, you know, traded him, you know, like how other teams do.
They're so quick to,
you know, everyone wants to win now, when they don't realize, you know, you give up certain assets that, you know, might have to take a little time to, you know, either develop or have to come back to themselves. When you don't give them that time and you don't, you know, show them that love and appreciation, somebody else is going
to
get it.
It's important to keep those pieces together, and it's vital to do that because it's just, look at that chemistry, man. That chemistry between that entire team was unbeatable.
Yeah.
And the entire team ran through Jamal and Nikola Jokic.
Right.
Shout out Nikola for getting his first MVP, finals MVP. Yes. The man didn't even care. Like, what? No, like, that is crazy.
What's it called? Yeah, I think it was Wednesday night. He did a interview with Malika Andrews on ESPN, and he said that he was celebrating, he forgot it.
He lost it or something.
He forgot it, like, in the locker room with the equipment manager. He was like, I got it. Don't worry about it. But, nah, that's funny.
That shows you everything, yo. Like, that man, it's all about team success. He don't care.
He don't care about the individuals.
What could you ask more for from a star?
Oh, yeah.
That's centered around the team and not about himself.
I love that.
Me too.
I love that. It shows, it's something different that I feel like this generation really needs too, because this generation is so predicated on
their self and their what's the word I'm looking for?
Their brand.
Thank you. Yes, their brand.
Because I remember I forgot whose podcast it was, but I think it was either Playoff P. It was either Paul George or like Gilbert Arenas or somebody, and they was talking about how, like, when they were talking to one of the young kids, that they were talking about how, you know, they're coming off as a brand now. You know what I mean? They're not coming off as basketball players anymore. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different thing.
It's like, but they're really looking at it from the business side of things, and not even just basketball things.
Right, right.
You know, that it could hurt you, but it could help you too.
Right.
You know what
I mean? Yeah.
So it's a dicey situation, and it's a fine line you gotta walk.
Right.
Especially nowadays.
But somebody like Nikola, who, you know, as of right now, I'd say is the best basketball player in the world.
Absolutely.
He's the, you know, the face of the NBA and things of that nature.
Absolutely.
That's really cool to see, you know, especially for the young kids coming in with the draft coming up next week.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool to see, you know, that it's not, you know, as much as it is, it's cool to have, you know, the individual success, you know, to get the MVPs, you know, the all NBAs, the all defensive teams or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's more important. Your legacy is going to be more predicated on what you do as a team.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and how far you push your team forward.
Right.
And if you got to give up less to do that, and they're going to talk about that more.
Exactly.
They're not going to talk about you getting more down the line. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it's not, it's like, he's doing the right thing, and he's going about it the absolute right way.
Right. Like, think about it, how with Kobe and Mike.
Yes.
You know, like, they had to learn, you know, like, this is a team thing, you know, as much as you could do bad by yourself. You know, we've seen Nikola can do all bad by himself.
Yeah.
But you need,
like, the thing was, like, he won those two back-to-back MVPs. But then, what, it was like third round exit, and then it was like they lost to Golden State.
Yeah, in the first round.
They lost to Golden State in the first round, like, what,
I think it was last year. Yeah.
And then they went out in the conference finals.
Right, that was what,
the year before that.
Like, yeah, yeah,
I
know,
want to say
2020.
2 years ago.
Yeah, the 2021, yes. That's when they lost to the Lakers in the conference finals. If I'm not mistaken, I think they had lost in the first round that 2021 year because Jamal Murray did tear his ACL that year.
Yes.
So I think it was both first round losses, but
I just think like it was important that Jamal came back and it showed you like how much they really needed him.
It
really showed that Yoke could do whatever he wants,
right?
But he needs somebody facilitate, and he needs somebody to help get him there, get him over the finish line almost.
right.
And it was really just Jamal. If you want to break it down, it was Jamal that was the changer of the entire game.
It was Jamal that was the changer because he was the shot maker.
Yes,
you know, he made so many tough shots to the point where Miami had no choice but to shift their defense towards him, mm-hmm. which made him more of a passer. Mm-hmm. Then after that, he just averaged 10 assists basically the whole series. Which I never thought he could do. Because watching him from like Kentucky all the way up to right now, I've only seen him more so as a scorer.
Yes, I agree. I agree 100%.
You know, so like I'm like, all right, well, I know he could drop 20 in his sleep. That's nothing.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, is that it felt like I was playing 2K almost, where, like, I was with Joel Embiid.
Right.
And, yo, he was 7-8 a year assist is going with that little bounce pass or that little overpass mm-hmm. right to Joker.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's easy givings right there.
Yeah, yeah. And then you have everybody else that comes in. You know, KCP is always mm-hmm. ready to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Gordon played beautifully. To me, he was the unsung hero of that team
Absolutely. This
year. Once they got him, and once he, you know, he finally figured out, you know, because in Orlando, when he was in Orlando, he had to be the man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He had to go out there every night and he had to be the number one option. Here, he doesn't have to be the number one option. He's the number four option, you know, number three, number four option most of the times, mm-hmm. you know? So he could kind of sit back and let the game come to him rather than him trying to chase the game.
Exactly. And his defense.
His defense
all
was
throughout
great.
The playoffs was great. Impeccable.
It was great.
It was
you know?
Impeccable.
Like, I remember, like, me and my boy were kind of making fun of it a little bit because, you know, like, you talk about him playing defense, but, you know, like, LeBron, you know, dropped, like, that, mm-hmm. you know, that almost 40 triple-double on them but you know, but it shows, you know, like, you just have to play tough defense and you just have to make life hard for all the superstars, you know, for the LeBrons, the KDs, the Karl-Anthony Towns of the world and stuff
like that.
And
which he can do because he got that long, lengthy frame.
Mm-hmm. And he's athletic.
Yes.
And he knows how to use it.
Yes.
That's the biggest thing. He knows how to use it.
Yes. Unsung hero, that's a great way to put it because he really was.
Yeah.
No Aaron Gordon, who knows what Jimmy could have done.
Right.
Who knows what Bam could have done.
Who knows, you know, in the prior series to that, who knows what, you know,
LeBron and AD could have done. In them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. So that was that right there was like the perfect pickup for them. And I think that right there, that was the missing piece for them.
Yes. Yes. And that, like, I've been seeing a lot of people be like, you know, I don't know if they're going to go back to back. I don't know if, you know, you keep that team together. There is no choice. You have no choice but to keep that team together.
Oh yeah, they all on contracts. Like, first of all, so no one's gonna go anywhere.
Nobody's going anywhere, and they're all bought in.
Exactly.
Still,
all your top guys, all your core pieces, all the guys that played like basically every game in the playoffs are all under contract.
That's a big thing, man.
Yes, so they're not going anywhere. So basically what's going to happen is, obviously, yes, they're going to have a bigger target on their back because mm-hmm. they are the defending champions. But what's going to happen is it's going to make them stronger as a team.
It will. It most definitely will.
Because now they're going to be treading into uncharted territory now.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is a true this is really going to be the true meaning of us against the world.
Yes, it's a true testament to how that organization is going to be ran.
Yes.
And what they're going to do. Because, like you said, they got that target on their back. And, you know, they can eliminate that target easily.
Oh, for sure. Because
they could end up winning, like, 60 games, 65 games next year. Like, I wouldn't put it past them.
I wouldn't put it past them. If the same thing happens this upcoming year that just happened this year,
mm-hmm.
where they're pretty basically first all year. Where they're basically, you know, the team's most complete team, the mm-hmm. team's best team, the deepest team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to the point where you're kind of sitting there where you're like, all right, well, yeah, it all makes sense. If they got the same people from last year, I would expect them to do the same thing.
We've been saying the same thing about Golden State for how many years now?
Exactly.
They got Steph, they got Clay, they got Dre. Like, we expect them to be in the finals.
Exactly.
Almost.
Exactly.
We expect that from them because they got those core group of guys.
Those core group of guys.
It's about time we start expecting Denver to be there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, going back down like memory lane, if I'm not mistaken, I remember years ago, me and you pulled up to Nana's house one time, and I forgot what we had done for her, but I remember we were watching Game 7 of the Nuggets and the Spurs, and it was a game where I think the Spurs ended up coming out with the win, but it was a young
Denver squad.
Yeah, it was a young Nikola Jokic on that team, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't think they got Jamal just yet. I think he was coming in that year. But I remember looking at that team, and I was like, that's pretty good. They're not that bad. Like, they took San Antonio to Game 7, and you know what I mean? No matter what team San Antonio has, as long as Greg Popovich is on that sideline.
Is your head coach.
That's going to be tough.
Yes.
But, yeah, no, I remember like, flashing back on that, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool to see now that they, you know, finally made it full circle, you know?
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%.
But,
It's just, Miami was too small. They couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
They gave it the best that they could, Game 5. Can't knock them for that.
Yeah, no, they did everything that they could, honestly. And, you know, there's just not much you can do. They need another star. They need another shot creator.
They need a pure scorer.
Yeah.
Somebody that can shot create, like you said. Somebody that can get his own off the dribble, off the pick and roll. Because that's all Miami got killed with all series was that pick and roll.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't defend it for nothing.
Mm-mm. There was too many options from it. Too many options. Everybody on the court was a threat from anywhere that they were. Everybody was in the perfect position whenever they were on to pick and roll. You know, it just wasn't much that they could do. You know, and going back to the offensive side, you know, Jimmy's a great, you know, offensive player. I'll say good offensive player.
Can we go with good? I say good.
The thing that doesn't make him great is the fact that he can't get separation. He relies a lot more for calls, I'd say. But it's not like, it's obviously not at the extent of like a James Harden or like a Joel Embiid. But
the thing is like, even like James Harden, he don't need the calls. That's the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
James Harden, he could create so much easier, and he's like, I would say he's a better facilitator than Jimmy.
Oh yeah, for sure, easily. He's a point guard.
Like, so it's just, I think the game just comes easier to him than it might come easier to Jimmy. Let's just say. Yeah.
But Jimmy had a lot of chances to score.
Jimmy had two. That's the problem. He had too many chances to score, and he didn't. He looked hesitant
every time he got up, and it kept pissing me off because he'd get into the lane.
He could have an easy floater.
He had an easy floater, easy little jump shot, exactly. Easy little pull-up, free throw mid-range. It's literally at the free throw line. You're literally...
They were giving it to him at a certain point.
Yeah, because they knew he wouldn't shoot it.
If the team, like, you gotta, mm-mm.
Too much relying on your undrafted players, bro. That's the biggest thing. Too much relying on the undrafted players. Look, the finals, if we've seen anything from the finals over the past years, it's all about tough shot making. If you can't make the tough shots, then you ain't going to win.
Nope.
Plain and simple.
Nope.
Plain and simple. But moving on, so now we are in the off season. Now a bunch of dominoes are starting to fall. So the first domino was Fred VanVleet. He declined his $22.8 million player option with the Raptors, and now he will become an unrestricted free agent, meaning that he could basically sign anywhere he wants. So that is going to be very interesting. The Pelicans are looking to aggressively pursue a top pick. Yes.
I think they want Scoop, bro.
Yeah, they do.
They want Scoop.
Because from what I'm hearing is that Brandon Miller is more than likely going to be locked in at number two.
Mm-hmm. Charlotte.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Charlotte would have to get the moon, the stars, the sun, everything for them to actually trade that number two. So that's why they're looking at that number three, number four, trying to figure that out. But I just seen this morning that the Rockets are very big on Amen Thompson, if I'm not mistaken, one of the Thompson twins. So who knows what that could be. But, yes, per Shams, the eyes are on Scoop for the Pelicans.
Yeah, and I think that's a great pickup.
And also the rumor is that Zion could be a trade asset.
You want that top pick? He's going to have to be. Because
you're not gonna lose Brandon Ingram.
Zion is shaky, man. He can't stay healthy. Like, and even when the problem in the cognitive dissonance that I'm going through right now is when he's in and he's playing, they were the number one team in the West.
Oh, yeah.
And how does that not fuel you to want to come back? Or I won't say want to come back, because I think he really does want to play. It's just about staying healthy and staying focused. And I don't know. I don't know right now if he can do that.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I don't know.
That's my biggest thing, too, is if he stays healthy, then this isn't a discussion, you know? Then they're sitting there, you know, trying to figure out other ways to
especially really, with a vet like C.J. McCollum.
Right.
You got Brandon Ingram.
Right.
Come on. Come on.
Scoot Henderson. If, for those who don't know Scoot Henderson, if I had to compare him to somebody, it would be like coming out of college or coming out, like coming into the draft. If I had to compare him to somebody, it would be Colin Sexton.
I could see that.
Very dog-like mentality. He doesn't just talk the talk, but he could walk the walk.
He could walk it. Mm-hmm.
Like, he's explosive. Like, He's somebody that
I've been big on Scoot for years now.
I'm a fan of his.
I love Scoot, for sure.
A fan of his. I love his game. Shifty, crafty.
Very strong, strong, too. Like, could get to the bucket when he wants. Could still pull up when he wants to.
Right.
I'm real big on him, and I think he could make a real, real impact on this league.
Yeah.
It's just about where he goes.
Right.
And I don't want to see him go to, like...
You don't want to see him go to a... Who's the number three team? I forgot.
I mean, I'm going to be honest.
Oh, the number three team is the Trailblazers.
That's what I was about to say. I think it's the Trailblazers. I would like that. If the Trailblazers want to keep Dame truly like they would like to, I would assume.
My only problem would be that would kind of be a part two of Dame and C.J. McCollum, because it'd be two small guards again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing.
They need a big in the interior as well. Like they need a better big interior.
Yeah, they need a solid big, and they need a solid 3-and-D.
Yes. And that team could become a contender too.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of Dame and all of them.
Right.
Like, you could see that. But I don't know. Dame might land somewhere else. Who knows at this point?
Yeah. It's
a waiting game.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a waiting game. And, you know, the draft is next Thursday. So
a lot of moves will be made before that draft.
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
And I think during, too.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Something's going to shock us.
Yeah, something's
going to
drop.
Something's going to shock us. And we're probably not going to see it coming, but it's going to... Something's
going to drop.
Something's coming down that pike right now, most definitely.
Let's see. Who else? Bradley Beal could get traded.
That's a big one.
Yeah, that's huge. He's only 1 year into his five-year $251 million
No trade clause.
He has a no-trade clause.
So he could really pick where he wants to go.
Yeah.
But the thing is Washington might not get a lot.
Yeah,
from him because of that no trade clause,
because no one wants to deal with that.
Nobody. Isn't he like probably like one of the only ones that got one?
Yeah, that's why the NBA is like, we barely do that.
Yeah, hearing and like learning about the no trade clause, that makes things a little difficult. It does. I've been seeing a lot of he could go to the Celtics, you know, because him and
Tatum are real
Saint
close.
St. Louis St. boys, Lou? Yes. Yeah. Something is really telling me though that they're not gonna break up Jaylen Brown and JT.
No, I don't think they will.
I don't think that they're going to.
The Celtics are too keen on trying to prove everybody wrong and trying to keep them together and wanting them to win the championship.
But at what point do you start to make a change?
Exactly. That's the biggest thing. Because you're sitting there and you're like, well, you know, the last 2 years, you know, last year you get there. You can't beat Golden State. All right, whatever. Who cares? Mm-hmm. You know, that's Steph Curry and them. It was Steph's time to officially show everybody who he was. Okay, whatever. Cool, granted. You know, you come into this season, you have a rookie head coach, you get yourself into a 3-0 hole, you try to fight back. Jason Tatum sprains his ankle very badly to the point where...
30 seconds into the game.
Exactly. So, you know...
I'm
not going to make excuses for that. Whatever.
I'm not either. I'll be honest, though. Now that I'm really thinking about it, and of course, like, you know, hindsight's 2020, but I would have loved to see the Celtics versus Denver.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would have been a better series.
Oh, yeah,
honestly.
It would have been. I still would have had the Nuggets winning, but...
Me too, but it's just because of the size that the Celtics have with Robert Williams, JT, Marcus Smart, defensive player the year before. Like, you could have found some type of answer, I think, to that Jamal Murray and Jokic
because of the defense, the defense that they have too. Yeah,
they're lengthy too, all around the board. Derek White, like all of them. So I mean, just looking at it from there, real quick.
Yeah. But that's gonna be tough. Like Bradley Beal, Shannon,
Definitely. I wouldn't mind him going to the Heat, to be honest.
Yeah, I see that. The Heat, Philly, you know, there's a few places that...
If he goes to Philly, James Harden's definitely going to be out then.
Oh, yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah, I can see that.
He would be out. I don't think there's a way that you could have all three of them like that. I don't know. Just in terms of from the point that I'm not sold on that. I'm not really sold on James Harden, Bradley Beal, and Joel Embiid right now.
Yeah.
That's not something that, like, gets me a little hype.
I'll tell you one thing. Wouldn't have to rely on James Harden to shoot the ball. I know that much.
You wouldn't have to. Bradley Beal is a pure scorer. And yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it could work 30, out in Miami.
He'll drop 30 on you just because, though. Yeah, no. Miami for sure. I think
there might be his best landing spot. I've been hearing, like, Jay Williams talk about Golden State, too.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, I heard, you know, you hear that the Washington want to rebuild and stuff. So it's like, I don't know if they would want Clay.
Yeah, they have no choice but to include Clay or Draymond.
I'll be honest with you. I think I'm going to give up Clay before I give up Dre.
I could see that.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think Draymond's too much of a glue piece. Too much of a glue piece to give up.
But also, what is the point of gluing the pieces when you also don't have your other Splash Brother there? Because then you have to learn a whole new player.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it's tough. It's tough. It's tough.
It's weird. It's so, like, you don't, I don't know. I don't know, man.
And for all we know, Bradley Beal could just end up staying.
I could be honest with you. I'm going to be honest. I really think he will. I really think he will.
That's probably the most realistic. Yes. Realistic right now. But who knows? Who knows with Bradley? Moving on to see, the Nets are looking to move up in the draft. They have the 21 and the 22 picks. Also, the Grizzlies are looking to move up, too. They have the 25th pick. Everybody's trying to get, mainly I think what it is, everybody's trying to get guards. Most of the guards are landing in between that, like, 10 and 20
mm-hmm.
spots. So that's where everybody's really trying to, you mm-hmm. know, nudge themselves into. So it's going to be very interesting to see what these teams will do to get to where they want to go.
Yeah. I agree.
Let's see. Oh, college basketball. So there's a lot of transfers going on.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get into that for a little
crazy bit.
Simon Wilcher. If you don't know Simon Wilcher, he played up here in Jersey at Roosevelt Catholic. He's a 4-star guard. He flipped from going to UNC of North Carolina. Now he's going to St. John's to play for Rick Pitino, which is going
Big
to be
pickup.
Huge.
That was probably like the driving force was Rick Pitino being at St. John's.
Yeah, and now I think that whole schedule is that whole roster is filled up. I think they have like one over right now, so mm-hmm. they have to like either put somebody as a walk on or they have to transfer.
Wow,
so that's big. Rutgers got Emmanuel. I don't even know how to say his name. Ogboli, if I'm not mistaken. He's 6'11". 242, a center from Nigeria. He went to Monroe College. He has 3 years left of eligibility. He also had an offer from Seton Hall, but ended up choosing Rutgers. He averaged 12.3 points per game, 8.2 rebounds. He was sixth in his league for field goal percentage, 49 blocks, 19 steals.
I think, and then even going also to Lathan Somerville.
Yeah.
With Rutgers, that mm-hmm. pickup as well.
Yeah, that's a
three-star yep. power forward, that's 2024 class.
Mm-hmm, class yes. of 24 with him, Bryce Dortch, also going to have Ace Bailey. You know, their top priority right now is trying to get Dylan Harper. If they could get him, they would be, because they're considered number one in the class of 24 for the Big Ten, and I think number seven in the whole nation.
Mm.
Which is huge.
Rutgers is in a good spot.
Yeah.
Rutgers is in, after giving up Cam Spencer, you know, seeing the moves that they got this week.
Cam Spencer left with Paul McKay leaving. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the moves that
they're making, they got big, strong people that are coming in. That's big.
They got big. I think the biggest thing, too, they have Big Ten talent
mm-hmm.
coming in.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm. Now they can contend with a Purdue.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. they've showed that they could do it.
Yes.
They've showed it. You know, even with guys, you know, you could say, like, maybe they're, like, slightly below, but they show that they could play, and I'm very excited to see where Rutgers will go on with this one. Well, because of short of time, kind of have to speed this up a little bit. We'll come back to that. But going to the NFL, Saquon Barkley still has yet to be able to get a deal done with the Giants. Kyle, you are more of a Giants fan than I am, even though I still root for them.
Pay the man. Yeah. Pay the man.
Plain and simple, pay the man. They got till July 17th to come to a long-term deal, or else he will have to play on that franchise tag of $10.1 mil.
And I don't know if he will. That's the problem.
That's the biggest problem.
I do not know if he will.
He played 80% of the snaps played. He was their, leading rusher. He was also their leading pass catcher.
He
was tied, if I'm not mistaken. He was basically playing the Christian McCaffrey role.
1,300 yards.
And then you can sit here and be like, oh, his injury history, all right, whatever. Who cares? Look, they had a better offensive line now. They got better players around him. So obviously, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, yeah, you have to use him the same way that you did last year. But at least a cool $12 million should do him suffice, because
in between 12 and 14.
That's the minimum. The $12 million is the minimum of like a top tier, like a top one tier running back right now. Because I think Nick Chubb is, if I'm not mistaken, is getting paid $12 million. So why not?
Yeah.
But you know, you had to play Daniel Jones. You know, him being the quarterback and everything, you need your quarterback. So
I agree.
I can't hold it. But you know, we will get more into that next week. Thank you all for joining us. And I hope you guys have a safe weekend. And shouts out to Anaya for graduating.
Shout out Anaya Stevenson, Drexel University. Let's go.
Liddy, much love.
Go crazy, girl.
Later on, everybody.
Have a good one.